Hello, I'm Scott Soschnick.
I'm Evan Novi Williams.
And I'm Michael Barr, and this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we,
just the three of us today.
Well, no, four, just because the bee was here.
If she chimes in, she's here. She was yawning when I came in the studio. I mean, just big time yawning.
Well, I'm still yawning.
At least it's not happening while the show is going on.
So I have that reaction to people. But anyway, we're going to explore the big money issues in the world of sports. Lots to talk about. Well, let's start with the G League, and tell me about what's going on here, Evan.
Yeah, it's been a pretty eventful couple weeks.
Yeah, we're talking
for
G League.
People who think about the NCAA and the kind of the monopoly they have on young talent. We're talking basketball here. In the past couple of days, the G League has announced a new type of contract, a bigger contract, $125,000 deal that is aimed at 18-year-olds coming out of high school.
Worth noting, that's 5 months of work.
That's five months of work. It's these people that are too young to be eligible for the NBA. You need to be, you know, more than a year removed from your high school class. The goal here, obviously, is to potentially poach a couple players who might otherwise have gone to the NCAA. Obviously, the NBA would love to have the G League, formerly the Development League, as a feeder kind of feeder to the NBA to get the best players who are too young to be in the NBA going there. Darius Bazley, who about a year ago,
I have to mourn this. He was a Syracuse guy, supposed to be playing at Syracuse.
He announced last year that he was going to go, instead of going to college, instead of going to Syracuse, he was going to go to the G League. It became a big deal. It was a big story. Turns out he's no longer going to the G League. Yeah. He has found another option in addition to playing in Europe, in addition to the G League, in addition to the NCAA.
Well, why take the 125 when you can take the million?
Exactly. He is now.
Remember the greater than and less than carrots? 1 million greater than 125.
Yeah, so he's going to work with New Balance. He's on a long term deal. Gets $1 million for this year to be a quote unquote intern. I'm sure he will be working out a lot. He will also have some kind of say in learning about the business and the shoe business and New Balance.
Yeah, but he's going to be an intern. I mean, literally, he's an intern at New Balance.
Yeah, we'll see how much.
No, I bet he's no.
If that's a title and name only.
Well, no, I bet not. It's worth noting he's with Rich Paul in Clutch Sports. That's LeBron's folks, and he did that himself at Nike. So he understands the value of learning about the business and about the world more than just. It's not like a no-show. They didn't have to do it or frame it that way. New Balance could have paid him $1 million just to train. But I'll bet a significant part of this is that he gets to go and learn and get that real world experience.
Well, see, and here's the thing. Here's come cranky old man Barr.
Love it.
The kids, instead of going to college, they're going to go right straight from high school, now, according to that they have the talent, of course, to do it, and then go into the G League. And yes, I know you put up $125,000, but you have to. My view is, hey, even at that level, there's going to be a bunch of folks that still aren't going to make it. And now you have no education.
But you could go get one.
You can go get one.
You have the money to go get one. Nobody's saying you can't go to college. You just won't be able to play basketball at college. But that rule could be changed if the NCAA really wants to do that. Nobody's saying you can't go back to college.
I was just playing devil's advocate.
G League contract also, to the NBA's credit, that includes some educational components.
Too, yeah.
And some form of scholarship funding if you want to go back and complete your education or go to college in the first place. I think the options are good, right? And we now have four fairly viable options if you are a very elite high school basketball player and you have eyes on going to the NBA. You can go to the NCAA and play 1 year in college, and we know what that looks like for good and bad. You can play in Europe and get a lot of money.
Yeah.
You can play in the G League for less money, but not nothing. And you can, if your agent is good enough or if you're savvy enough, you can go the Darius Bazley route, which is find a company. And if New Balance is willing to do this, you can bet your money
others will
be as well. You can find a company to pay you to get some real world experience, to be working out with a trainer every day for 365 days.
Yeah.
That is now another option on the table.
And to file under the no good deed goes unpunished, of course, now some WNBA players are saying, oh, how nice that the 18-year-old skipping college going to the G League will make more than the best WNBA players. So,
see that? Yeah, that's another sticking point that I've got. But don't get all the hairs.
Just saying, that's one of the issues that now the NBA must consider.
Yeah, and how do you feel about that?
How do I feel?
Yeah, how legitimate is that gripe? That if you're, you know, I can barely name it, Candace Parker, you know, the idea that a male 18-year-old who has not played
a
lick of pro basketball is being paid more than you.
Listen, this is an investment in the future. The NBA is banking that these select kids, and you have to be approved or selected. We don't know what that looks like yet, how they determine, but they have to select you for this. They are banking that you are going to be a pretty darn good NBA player, and if you're looking for return on investment and the revenue derived from that kind of star player in the NBA, obviously higher for the NBA player.
For sure. No. And let's not forget the reason why there is this one-year buffer between high school and the NBA, which didn't exist back when LeBron came out, is because NBA owners want another chance, another year to evaluate players before they invest their millions.
Multiple reasons. You get another year to look at against quality competition. You push back that second contract, so the one after that, your year older, isn't such a monster. I mean, obviously a guy like LeBron's going to have all the leverage, but you're delaying these big contracts. Guys are a little bit older. Yes, there are multiple reasons why they do it. Those are the two big ones.
And getting players into the G League certainly helps, you know, with the evaluation piece of that concern. And we're seeing, you know, the NCAA is now pushing back on that rule. I think a lot of fans out there think that this is an NCAA rule, an attempt to get the best players have to play in college. It's not that way. The NCAA, in my opinion, a bit too heavy-handedly, but has blamed that rule for a lot of the bribery things that we've seen pop up in college
basketball. Hey, we've said it all the time. In the NCAA, you don't need the NBPA, you don't need the NBA. Change the rule, freshmen are ineligible. There you go. One and done. One and done ends as soon as you change the rule the way it used to be. Freshmen cannot play basketball.
It was very simple.
Done. They can do that unilaterally. They do not need the NBA and the NBPA to agree to anything. Freshmen can't play.
Yeah, but if they do that, then everybody goes to Europe and plays in the G League.
Oh, so you're telling me it's not really about, you know, the education. I get it. Okay, but you do have a solution.
Yeah, and when Condoleezza Rice, the commission that looked into college basketball last year, when they came out with their, you know, recommendations, they kind of blindsided the NBA and the NPPA in terms of not only calling for that to be changed, but saying that it would be changed. There are now negotiations going on between the league and the players. From what we understand, they maybe stalled a little bit this week or last week. How likely do you think it is that rule changes from the NBA and union side?
Yeah, they'll probably come up with something. Here's the important thing to remember, that the people who vote from the NBPA perspective, these are folks who have signed NBA contracts. You need to sign an NBA contract to be a member of the NBPA. These future stars, high school, they are not members of the union yet. So if I'm an 11-year guy or 10-year guy and I'm looking to hang, like this guy pushes my job out the door, sure, I'm very happy to vote and approve a new rule that delays that kid coming in. The rank and file, as we call like the body, the middle body of the unions, the rank and file, they take care of themselves. They're not looking to take care of many of them, people, kids, who are not yet members of their union.
I think we saw that in the NFL when the rookie wage scale changed so drastically.
You saw who took the
hit. Exactly.
The folks who were not yet members of the union. Because who was there to speak up on their behalf?
Nobody.
Right. Yeah, exactly. MSG News. Dolan, what's up?
It's a weird one. It's a bizarre one.
All right, so Jimmy Dolan came. We'll make it quick. Jimmy Dolan came out with a song saying he should have known about the things that Harvey Weinstein was alleged to have been doing.
They're close friends.
Right.
Maggie Gray on WFAN said because of the Anuka Brown Saunders lawsuit years ago and the sex harassment, pretty much labeled Dolan a hypocrite and some other personal attacks. Called him some pretty nasty things. If you want to Google it, you can go Google and see what she said. Jimmy was not happy. He has now told everyone in MSG employ, that's Knicks, that's Rangers, that's coaches, that's broadcasters, they are not to appear, not only on WFAN shows, anything to do with Entercom.
Oh boy.
Any program, they are forbidden from appearing.
Oh my.
Mike Francesa is like, well, you know, so he doesn't know whether he's going to stick with the app or if he's going to stick with FAN. I mean, there are ripple effects, but easily some with Jimmy ain't happy.
not the first time that Jimmy's been.
Yeah, I was gonna, it's not the first time this happened. But I mean, look, is this a matter more of, you know, hey, you ticked me off, and I'm going to show you why you don't say these things about me, or
he's flexing.
Or what?
He's flexing his muscles.
He's flexing, right? You could argue till the cows come home. Did she cross the line? Should she have said? Is there a double standard that if, you know, men have criticized Dolan and she's getting a lot of blowback? Hey, it's his right. It's his company. He can tell his employees whatever he wants. If he is adversely affected in any for any reason, maybe it'll change.
And you do see the restricted access piece come up occasionally in I'm sure in all media, but also in sports media. I'm thinking about back in 2009 or so when the New York Post posted those photos of Aaron Andrews.
Yeah.
And ESPN said that all New York Post reporters were banned from their shows,
right,
because they felt like the coverage and the usage of those photos was unfair. It does pop up occasionally, and I would imagine that this is not a lifetime thing. I think you will see Rangers and Knicks players joining Mike Francesa at some point, maybe even in the near future. But you're right. I think this is just Jimmy Dolan kind of trying to remind people that he has power here.
Well, Jimmy has said, and I think that the process is going to be moving forward, that FAN personalities, whatever, they will have whatever access is required by league rules, just not anything added and over. Over that. Whatever is required, you get the bare minimum. You don't get any, no other favors from the folks at MSG.
And it should be noted that Ms. Gray apologized for the personal nature of what she said, but did not apologize for the overarching point, which was that there was some tone deafness to his, you know, his contrition about Harvey Weinstein, but not about his own company.
Correctamundo.
Let's move on now to RSN's regional. I hope we're talking about regional sports networks.
Or what else would RSN?
Yeah. I just want to make sure.
It's a new
Sox Nation,
it's
man.
It's a new,
you know,
MMA boxing inspired OTT service called Rezone.
What?
Thumbs up from Evan Novi.
That's not bad. Say, man. I just want to make sure.
That's not bad.
You know, so we are in the World Series era here, man. More on what's up, man.
Well, I mean, everybody knows that Disney is selling those Fox assets, and the book has gone out, what's known in the industry as the book, where you get a peek. But from what I'm told from bankers, there are certain agreements out there, like affiliate agreements, where they can't divulge details. So a little bit of a blind process, but private equity is looking at it. Sinclair Media is looking at it.
Scott and I are looking at
it. Yeah, we're looking at it.
Michael Barr is looking at it.
I mean, this is like a $20 billion transaction. Barr, all the folks I talk to, the bankers looking at this, and who are hoping to represent people, reading tea leaves, there are just too many barriers they feel for somebody to come in and make this purchase. People are going to team up. If it's a Sinclair, it'll maybe be with a private equity firm. They're saying the guesswork now is that at the end of the process, these RSNs will just wind up going back to Fox. Fox will purchase them back.
Yeah, do you have to break them up now? Or
you don't have to. They can sell piecemeal. They can sell as a chunk. Yes
Network will come off.
That's the crown jewel of RSNs, of the Rezones. That will probably go back to the Yankees, perhaps in partnership with a private equity firm or a media company. But the Yankees are likely to take Yes back, so it'll be the others. And these are valuable properties in that many are cash flow positive. They spin off good revenue, and you are getting your loyal core viewers in those markets.
So we may see, I mean, we will see traditional TV folks interested, Sinclair, AT&T will be interested. You mentioned private equity, and they could team up. Where do kind of the new digital players fit into this? Is Amazon and Facebook, is this a property that groups like that might be interested in?
I think everyone's going to kick tires on this one. Yeah. While they're figuring out how they can show sports and get people comfortable watching on theirs, could they wind up, after somebody makes a purchase, the more likely scenario, my guess would be somebody makes a purchase and they look to sublicense some content, you know, get some exclusivity of a one game here or a Wednesday game, whatever, much like Facebook did with Major League Baseball on those Wednesday afternoon games. That, to me, I think is more likely at this point in their stage of development. But I mean, it's a $20 billion deal, 20 plus billion bucks. So
yeah, that money is important. Just for listeners who understand the scale here, that's you know, that's 11 sales of the Carolina Panthers, right? This is the biggest sports M&A deal that's going to happen this year, most likely.
Yeah, I mean, everybody made a big deal out of UFC at $4 billion. There you go. I can do it if I can do it quickly. That's nice.
That's about
5X. 5X UFC.
That's 15, what, mega lottery billion? That's that too.
There you go.
Yeah.
So some person in South Carolina going to kick the tires on the Comcast.
I've chosen to get 10% of the Fox RSS.
Oh my God! Are we talking about the $1.6 billion in South Carolina?
Oh, Medina wakes up. Yes.
Yes, I woke up.
Come on.
Because I heard about that, and I'm so disappointed because I really thought I was.
Yeah, on
win.
Twitter, you were very active about the adamancy of your victory.
Because I have to put it out there.
Why?
In order to
good juju.
So I could receive it. You know.
I believe as of time of recording, no one has claimed it yet.
No,
well,
but
they could
they're consulting with their attorneys and money managers. Yeah,
they could claim it anonymously in South Carolina.
It also could have been thrown out accidentally.
Oh, my God.
No.
Hope is still there, guys.
Oh.
You didn't tell your significant other or kid, where's that envelope I had tacked up on the refrigerator? Oh, I took it. I thought that was garbage. Oh, my God.
We got a bonus topic.
Oh, we did?
Yes.
Oh,
hello.
Fila.
Ah.
Grand Hill.
Why don't we start with Medina on this one? Because I know she's a fan.
Oh, I love my Filas. My Filas and my classic Reeboks.
Yeah.
I'm a Fila fan.
You're a Fila fan. Like back in the day in the tennis with the headbands and the Fila sweatshirt.
Yep,
did you have the sweatsuits?
It.
Did you ever wear the sweatsuits?
I did not have like the track suits, like windbreakers.
Yeah.
I didn't. I just always rocked to the kicks, like the sneakers.
Oh, okay.
Sweet.
Well, I mean, they're counting on Grant Hill. And you, Grant, you know I love you. Yeah, I love Grant.
You know I love him.
Signing a lifetime deal with Fila. He used to represent Fila when he was active player.
Right.
And the retros sort of were kind of, those were hot for them. They were big portion of their sales. So can Grant, announcer, former Hall of Famer, former player, does he still move that needle in the shoe game?
Man, companies are giving out lifetime deals like Oprah gives out cars, right? I mean, I feel like everybody, Clyde Frazier now coming back with
Puma. But
that makes,
I never understood why Puma didn't lock up Clyde from the beginning. I mean, there is no cooler. Let me put it this way. And this is my wife. You know, Kim says this all the time about athletes. So many athletes think they have style, but they don't. Few have style. What they have is stylists.
Yeah.
Clyde had style.
Yes, he did.
Nobody picked the fur coat, the hat with the feather. Nobody picked that stuff out for Clyde. Clyde has style.
But in the same way that Clyde was instrumental for Puma back when he was playing,
yes.
Grant was instrumental for Fila. I didn't realize this until today. Grant once had the biggest shoe deal in the NBA.
Yeah.
And it was with Fila.
Well, Grant was supposed to be prior to the injury. I mean, Grant was, you know.
Sure. He is tied to Fila already. There are people out there who obviously linked
great
them
affinity
together.
For the shoe. Right.
As we heard from Matt O'Toole, president of Reebok, a couple weeks ago on the podcast, retro shoes are back, right? This is a thing that almost all the shoe companies are trying to get back to. And if Fila is not making performance basketball shoes, this is just a casual sneaker play.
Should we challenge Medina to insert that clip during the show and give her extra work?
Oh, not bad. Here's Matt O'Toole discussing retro a couple weeks ago on the podcast.
I think she's looking to the heavens like, oh, for God's sake.
Can we talk about how much I dislike you right now?
I mean, if it's in
guys,
the show.
Guys, go back and listen to it. It's there.
If it's in the show, great. If it's not, Medina just didn't want to do it.
Okay. Can I just ask a really quick question, though?
Sure.
What is Grant Hill doing publicly?
He's an announcer. He's on TV a lot.
Which I know, but what I'm saying is, so does he have other, like, where can we see him be advertised with Fila? Like, who's his base where they'll be seeing this? Do you know what I mean?
I think those sneaker loyalists, once, if they just release it sort of out in the ether, they know and they want the new version.
But see, that's going to be for guys like me, old school guys who remember Grant Hill.
No. Clyde Frazier is for old school guys like you. Grant Hill is for guys like me.
Did you see the meme, man, that we should have made on
I remember Grant Hill, guys.
That's what I was just saying.
No, but I mean,
George Mikan is for Michael
Barr.
I
was there when he was playing, man. I was there.
All white leather or all white canvas kicks for you.
Yeah. That's it.
That's what I said. That's what I said.
Bring back some Chuck Taylors, man.
Love the Chuck. You know, Nike. No, Nike.
Yeah, I know. Anyway.
Just do it.
Yeah, I used to love the cons that they came out for Larry Bird and Magic, the cons in the Celtics and Lakers colors and the all black. Oh my God, those were I have no ardent affinity for any shoe brand. But when those came out, I was like, hook me up.
Speaking of that, I got to do a quick bonus. You mentioned Larry Bird.
Okay.
Whoa. They're talking about a museum for Larry Bird in Terre Haute, Indiana, yeah. Man.
Home of Jerry Azar. Hello, Jerry Azar, if you're listening. The czar. The czar. The best. I used to host a very similar show like this. I mean, I don't know how many years ago, with the czar. Downstairs in the studio, we'd sit together. He was great in that he always, when he was typing the scripts out, the Falcons were the Flackens and the Giants were the Guignettes. He couldn't get it right. He could not do it. It was always the Guignettes and the Flackens. So if you're listening, Jerry, hello.
Well, this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm Mike LaBarre along with Scott Sosnick and Evan Nobie-Williams.
We're here each and every Monday, Wednesday, and correcting the typo on the page. Thursday, exploring the world of money and sports.
Join us again at the end of the week when Michael and Scott speak with a special World Series guest, Tucker Kane, CFO of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
There's an F in Thursday.
There is?
Never mind.
Yeah, I wrote it's Thursday.
Well, Thursday. It's spelled Friday, but it's pronounced Thursday.
Exactly.
My bad.
You're listening. I'm sorry. Yes.
I know. I must have been yawning when I was typing.
Thanks. Thank you. We're glad to hear it. You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio around the world and online, and as where you can find our podcast available.
Were those words in the right order?
What did I say? What did I say?
Let's keep this part in the show.
We gotta keep
what?
That in. Yeah,
what?
Let's do that again. Let's do it again. Okay, keep this in. All right. You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio around the world and online. And oh, you know what? And online
where
as a podcast.
The things we do are given to people. To take
sports listening your podcast Thursday
and online as a podcast realtor.
That works.